Welcome to You've Got This with Sarah Hammaker, a podcast to encourage and equip moms along their parenting journey. Join Sarah each week as she interviews dads and moms like you and discusses the joys, challenges, and rewards of raising kids.
Hi, and welcome to this week's You've Got This. I'm your host, Sarah Hammaker, and I'm glad you joined me. Today I'm talking with Dr. Derwin Gray. He's the author of The Good Life. He's also the founder and lead pastor of Transformation Church in Indian Land, South Carolina. So welcome to my show, Derwin.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be with you.
So today's kind of loose topic is happiness in the midst of bad circumstances. And we are recording this in toward the end of May 2020, when some of us are coming out a little bit of our stay-at-home times during the coronavirus pandemic. So people kind of think this is a really bad circumstance.
It is. It is. There's no question about it. In the United States of America, close to 90,000 people have died in a matter of 10 or 11 weeks. Millions have lost jobs. The economy is in recession. Parents are having to homeschool. And I know when my kids were young, in sixth grade, they were doing advanced mathematics that I didn't even take to my senior year of high school. So there's all types of challenges and stresses, and some of us have lost loved ones. So yeah, it is a difficult time, unlike our generation has ever seen. When I wrote my book, The Good Life, What Jesus Teaches About Finding True Happiness, I obviously had no idea that we would be in a season of just chaos and confusion, and like people are searching for happiness. And it's almost like what COVID did, like the image that I see is like we were building our life on a beach, like with sandcastles, and this wave called COVID came and just knocked the sandcastles down. And it's kind of like, okay, we really need to build our lives on the rock, because the very things that we thought would make us happy have been taken away. And so the beauty of what I've tried to do in A Good Life is just introduce people to Jesus afresh, and specifically in the Beatitudes, Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 through 12, Jesus talks about 8 characteristics of a blessed or happy life. And what's interesting is the word blessed is makaros, and it literally means happy. And so Jesus is inviting us by grace to sit at his feet and to allow him to teach us and to show us that happiness is not necessarily about good things happening to you, but God actually making us good.
And I love that your book is coming out in the middle of this. I mean, I think that's such a wonderful reminder of how the good life isn't about things we have and things we can give our kids. It is about, for us as Christians, it is about Jesus and what's going on in our heart. And I think when we can focus on that, and we can help our children focus on that. My husband has been out of work for longer than the pandemic. It's almost 9 months now, and he recently just got a job, so we're definitely very grateful. But during that time, even before then, we were, you know, reminding our children, you know, God is going to take care of this. I don't know how it's going to look like, but God is going to take care of us.
Yeah.
And we may need a good starving, like someone, I forget which Puritan preacher said that. Sometimes God knows what we want, and sometimes it's a good starving. And, you know, and I get, you know, to turn our hearts toward him sometimes. And we knew that, and just helping our children kind of navigate the uncertainty of, you know, unemployment and, you know, not quite sure how, you know, when my husband was going to get a job and all this kind of thing. And then we had all this other stuff come on top of it. It was kind of like, yeah, all right, now everyone can join us.
Yeah.
In our time of uncertainty.
Yeah.
But keeping that focus on God, it was hard sometimes.
Absolutely.
But it was I think it helped us stay, you know, closer together as a family and more grounded as well when we realized we don't have to depend on others for our own happiness. And I love that you kind of use those Beatitudes to kind of, in your book, to remind us of that, because it is so true.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It is 100% true in that Jesus is literally teaching us how to be happy, but it's not a happiness that's based on circumstances or things that we get. You know, like, so in my life, I grew up poor, worked really hard to become a professional football player. I didn't have a faith. Football was, in essence, my faith. And I accomplished all these goals, and it was like I was a walking zombie. It was, mm-hmm. I was alive, but I was dead. I couldn't appreciate the things that I had because I worshiped those things,
mm-hmm.
instead of worshiping Jesus for his life, his death, his resurrection. And you know, as a parent, we love our children, and we hate to see our children hurt. My son's senior year in high school is a state championship game. He's one of the best players in the state, one of the top players in the country. He was heavily recruited for football. And in the first quarter, he gets his leg broke, and ankle ligaments are shredded. And, you know, and I could tell that he was really hurt, so they called me down to the field. And when he's down there, the doctors are around. I make my way, and there's a tear coming down his eye. And I look at him in his eyes, and I told him this many times before. I said, son, I'm so proud of you. I love you. And I said, man, you literally gave everything for this team. I said, man, I am so proud of you. And we had a moment, and he stopped crying, and we made our way to the bench. And, you know, I mean, his ankle was just huge.
No.
And he's in pain. And on the inside, like, I'm just breaking up, but I want to, quote, unquote, stay strong from him. But on the inside, where we really live, I'm just breaking apart. And he looks at me, and he says, Dad, God is so good. And I said, what? He goes, Dad, God is so good. And I said, why? He said, well, I could have got hurt in the first game. I could have done something really, really bad, which he actually did. He had to get surgery and ligaments torn his leg. But he's sitting there testifying to the goodness of God in the midst of pain, in the midst of not being able to finish his last high school game. That's the good life. That's what true happiness looks like. True happiness looks like you look in your child in the eyes, and your child is encouraging you because they're praising Jesus, not because things worked out, but because Jesus was working in him.
Yes.
That's the good life, and mm-hmm. that's what the Beatitudes, and that's what I've tried to create in my book, is to introduce people that this is what happiness looks like. We don't have to chase shadows. Like, you never catch your shadow, and the happiness that we're looking for in parenting and in life is like chasing shadows, and we never catch it. And Jesus is going, you're looking for the wrong thing. Look to me. Let me make you into a person that reflects the Beatitudes, and you'll find a happiness that's deeper than just fleeting moments of feeling good.
Yeah, I've been thinking about that. You know, the story about your son and his last game, and, you know, all this. There's been a lot of, you know, talk on social media, all the seniors, high school and college, who are missing, you know, all these things. You know, and part of me is like, yes, that is, are a lot of things, but there are some, even, you know, Christian friends that I know who are super upset about this. And I just can't help but think, what are you showing? You know, I mean, this is, yes, I get it. You can be sad. I'm not saying this is not a time to mourn a little bit for something you thought you were going to have. You know, but this is but one step in your life. And to put everything on your high school graduation or your college graduation or your wedding day or your, mm-hmm. you know, there's many life things that we blow completely out of proportion with things. And so if something goes wrong on that, we're, like, devastated. And, you know, what a wonderful testimony your son had, you know, to kind of self-correct you, right? You know,
yeah.
It's those parenting moments I find the most uncomfortable, Derwin, is when my kid says something, you know, godly, reminding me of what God is doing, and I'm like, oh, right, man.
Yeah.
And then I'm like,
you know,
oh, thank you, Lord, that that's something that you're working on their heart to help me work on my heart.
Absolutely. And the thing that I have found about parenting, particularly now, my daughter's 23, my son is 19, they are young adults. And what I've found now is I find myself learning from them and how they respond to things. And it's really a beautiful process. And there are so many things that I would do over when my children were younger if I would have known.
Yeah.
And, you know, you know, we say things like, I don't want to mess up my kids. Well, I've got some good news. They're already messed up.
Yeah.
It's called they're born with original sin. Like, we're all born children of Adam. That's why we need to be born again. And so, in one way, we're not that big of a deal. But the way that we are a big deal is we want our lives and our message to push them to know Jesus, not just do's and don'ts, but actually to know Christ and to depend on Christ. And so a lot of parenting, particularly as my kids got into middle school, was how do I shepherd their hearts?
Yes.
Don't look at the action. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about the motivation. And one of the things that I found that's been so helpful for me as a parent and teaching parents in our congregation is it's a lot easier to parent actions than it is to parent motives. Because motives take time to actually listen and to cultivate intimacy with your children.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where you have the biggest growth, because when you begin to cultivate the motives, they begin self-leadership and self-growth. And then a lot of times we parent out of fear because of mistakes that we made.
Mm-hmm.
My 23-year-old daughter sent me a beautiful text message for my 49th birthday on April 9th, and one of the things that just arrested my heart is she said, I'm so proud of you for trusting the Lord and not parenting out of fear anymore.
Mm.
And I was like, wow, that's so good. And our relationship has changed dramatically. You know, you kind of go through the phase when they're teenagers and they don't really want to talk. Now that she's off at college, man, we talk to her like twice a day.
Yeah, that's great. And I think that one of the things that unfortunately a lot of parents neglect, and I think it's totally unintentional, is that part of our job, one of our main callings as parents, is to help our kids know Jesus. And I can't leave that to I mean, my church is kind of my companion in this, but it's not the church's sole responsibility for my children. You know, I've been asked by many parents, you know, why are your kids in public school? You know, aren't you afraid that they're going to, you know, whatever. I don't know. They could fill in the blank. And I'm like, no, you know, we really feel that we are called to put our children in the public schools that they're in. But I say, you know, I expect them to teach them that math that I don't know, like you were talking about earlier, homeschooling them, the math and things like that. I can't teach them that. But what I can teach them, I am. You know, we are. We have family devotions, and we pray together, and we talk about our day in light of the scripture and things like that, because that is the true source of happiness, is having a, you know, that relationship with Christ.
Absolutely.
And that is what's so important for us as parents to help our kids realize.
Mm-hmm. Totally. And we cannot, as parents, we cannot outsource our discipleship of our children to the youth pastor.
No.
That our our children learn theology over the dinner table and how we handle our finances, how we argue, how we spend money. Discipleship is not only taught, but it's also caught. But then you have to pray for your children to make it their own.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know, and so whether a child goes to public school or private school, what's inside of them is more dangerous than what's outside of them.
Yes, that's so true. And our own hearts.
Just look at our own hearts. That's exactly what the Lord says. And so it goes back to discipling the heart. But when they get to be about 13, 14, here's the deal. If our kids can learn advanced mathematics, they can learn to read their Bibles, they can learn their own discipleship. And so that's an emphasis of prayer, is that they would make it their own versus, you know, we have to outsource their own discipleship. But the greatest thing that parents can do is how do parents love each other? How do parents respond when disappointment takes place? How are parents engaging with, am I parenting out of, well, I made that mistake, so I don't want my kids to make that mistake? You know, there's no such thing as the sex talk. Sex should be a normal part of our discipleship and stewardship of our bodies, that we as Christians should talk about sex beautifully and elegantly and worshipfully, because God created it for a husband and wife to experience it as an act of worship. And a lot of Christian kids go into the world worshiping purity and not worshiping Jesus.
Mm. Yeah, and it's so dangerous when we, like you had said earlier, worry about the outside behavior more than the heart. Now, we cannot change a person's heart. That is the Holy Spirit, Jesus' domain. Mm-hmm. But we can, however, you know, do our part to help make it soft and and do what we're called to do, which is to tell them the hard truth sometimes and all that stuff that can make us uncomfortable and to
let them fail sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
We live in a day and age where, like, the worst thing is our kids failing. That sometimes failure is the best tutor. A caterpillar turns into a butterfly, but it goes through a process of going into a cocoon, and it's a process of just transformation. And you can see the butterfly inside of the cocoon trying to come out. And if you open up that cocoon too early, the butterfly will come out with underdeveloped wings, and it can't fly, and it'll die. Oftentimes, in today's helicopter parenting, out of fear, what we do is we don't let our children develop strong wings so that they can fly and be beautiful in the world.
Right. Yeah, we don't. And we're so afraid of, you know, like, failure is not the worst thing that's going to happen to my kids. Failing a class, failing a test, you know, that's probably not the worst thing that's going to happen to them. So just keeping that in perspective, you know, it's okay in a sense. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not okay if my child has totally not done their homework and that. But then again, like you said, a lesson to be learned. I would rather them fail when they're living under my roof than to be out in the world and fail and not have a little bit of that safety net of mom and dad right there to kind of help them, lend a hand to pick them up back on their feet.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's the beauty of life, is sanctification is a process. It's a journey. And as parents, we're called to first and foremost allow the intimacy that we have with Christ, intimacy into me, you see. We allow that to transform us, and then it overflows to our children. And if I could just encourage some of the parents listening, when our children blow it the worst, that's when they need the biggest hugs.
Mm, yes. Yeah.
Because that's it. That's exactly what the Lord did for us, that when we blew it the worst, he gave us the biggest hug called the cross.
Mm.
And unconditional love when a heart is responsive, will transform a life faster than anything.
Yeah, and just that, I noticed that, you know, when I can be more gentle when my kids have failed, when I have to correct them, when I'm not angry at them. Yeah, when I am not angry at them, even though sometimes we get angry at our kids. We do.
Oh, yeah. And when you look at the story of the prodigal son, people say, well, what did he blew it and his dad welcomed back. Where is the discipline? The discipline was he was rolling around with pigs, getting ready to eat pig slop. So a lot of times the Lord will discipline our children because they have the consequences of their actions. And all of our kids want to make us proud. And so loving affirmation is one of the greatest ways to have children transformed. And, you know, it's never easy. And I'm finding that when our kids were younger, we parented different. As they became teenagers, we parented them different. Now that they're young adults, we parent them different, but never the same. Our love for them and our prayers for them and our desires for them is to know Christ and to make him known through everything that they do.
Yeah, I love that because our kids, you know, we can't parent them the same because they're not the same. My teenagers are not the same as they were when they were preschoolers. I mean, sometimes people are like, yeah, preschoolers and teenagers, their emotions are the same. Well, maybe, but, you know, it's not the same. And
no.
Making those adjustments and helping them to, you know, start to relate to them more, mentor to, you know, children, especially my older girls who are in upper high school now, and, you know, to help them realize, yeah, I'm here to help you make those decisions, but I don't need to make all these decisions for you anymore. And helping them to kind of navigate that is important because one day I hope I'm going to be friends with them.
And there are seasons, particularly the teenage years, where there'll be times where it's not a friendship, but man, it's beautiful now. With our oldest, you know, we went through a season that I called the wilderness. But man, coming through that wilderness, the love that we have for each other. As a matter of fact, my book, The Good Life, the only reason I wrote that book was because of my daughter. I had a contract offer from B&H to write the book, and I was like, you know what, I don't want to write. And we were in downtown Oslo, Norway, on spring break for our son. He wanted to go to Norway, and so we saved up and went. And as I was explaining to my daughter why I wasn't going to write the book, and I had so many excuses, she looked at me, she stopped dead in her tracks, I stopped, we made eye contact, and she said, Dad, if you're writing this book, you're writing it to God as an act of worship. It's not about what others think or whatever weaknesses you have. It's about you doing this for God. And I was like, oh my gosh, she's right. And then the next thing I thought is, oh my gosh, she's been listening all these years.
Yeah.
So I actually dedicate the book to Presley, to my oldest.
Yeah.
I dedicate to her that she inspired me to write this book, and this is by far the best book that I've ever written. Lisa Turker said it's the best book she's ever read on the subject of happiness, and some of Max Lucado and so many others, and Beth Moore wrote the foreword, and I'm just excited. People say, Derwin, why did you write the book? And one of my answers is, I had to write the book because if I didn't, I would be stealing thousands upon thousands upon thousands of blessings from people's lives who are going to read it and read Jesus afresh and enter into the happiness that he's created us to experience.
And that is a great way to end our show. So thank you so much for being my guest today.
It's been awesome. Thank you so much.
You've been listening to You've Got This. I'm your host, Sarah Hammerker, and today I've been talking with Dr. Derwin Gray. He is the founder and lead pastor of Transformation Church in South Carolina, and he's also the author of The Good Life, and which is what we've been talking about today. You can find out more about how to connect with him in the notes to this podcast.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast of You've Got This with Sarah Hammaker. Sign up to receive notification of new podcasts and listen to previous editions at sarahhammaker.com. Until next time, remember, parenting might be hard sometimes, but don't worry, you've got this.